John chapter 4. Go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 4. We're continuing studying through this blessed book, John 4. I hope you have been blessed studying this. If I had but one book of the Old Testament to read, it would probably be the Psalms. If I had but one book in the New, it would probably be the Gospel of John. More of our Lord's words than any other actual words. Read with me verses 40. We left off at verse 42. Begin with verse 43 down to verse 49. Now after 2 days, Christ departed thence, that is Sychar, and went into Galilee. Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. But they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman there, a ruler, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him in Cana. He went to Cana and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then said Jesus unto the man, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, or my child will die. Oh, this book, this gospel, this whole book is about him who came down and left the Father's throne to come down to this present evil world to show mercy, to save many. What a Lord. What a Savior. Now, every word is significant. Every word is divinely inspired, not just for information, but prophecy. After 2 days, it says. After 2 days, the third day. Go with me to Hosea chapter 6. We could have read this in the first message. Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, right after Daniel's book of Hosea. Look at this. It says, after 2 days, on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ went down to Galilee. And Hosea speaks about the third day. Look at this. Hosea 6, verse 1. Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord. He hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So many scriptures talks about the third day. Our Lord made that water into wine on the third day. And this is a prophecy. Peter said, don't be ignorant of this one thing. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. It's been 2 days since our Lord walked this earth. We're in the third day. He's coming real soon. Like he came to Cana. He came to Cana in the beginning, and he left. And he's coming back. And our Lord came to this earth. 2,000 years later, he's coming back with healing. He came down here to heal this fellow. He's coming back with healing in his wings. Everything is significant. Everything. First, in our text, it says, after 2 days, he departed thence. He departed Sychar. Oh, blessed Sychar. Oh, blessed well at Sychar. The Lord of glory came and sat there. And this woman, whom he was waiting to be gracious to, heard his blessed voice. And she dropped her water pot and ran into town to tell the people. And the people of Sychar came running out there. And he stayed there. They asked him, stay here a while. And he did. He stayed there 2 days. And oh, was Sychar blessed or what? What a blessed city it was. What about Rocky Mount? Oh, how blessed we are. We have a well here. And Christ is among us. We need to be like those townspeople. We need to be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Lord, abide with us. Don't leave. He's going to. He always did. He always departed from wherever he went. He stayed a while and then he departed. The gospel serves its purpose. Lord, leave. We all need, Lord, don't leave. There's some people I know that need to hear the gospel. My son is dead. My daughter is vexed. My spouse is lost. Don't leave. Really? That's why this was written. He came back to Cana, verse 46. That's Nathanael's hometown. That's where Nathanael was from. And he came back. He went there and found Samuel under the fig tree. That won't cover you. You got to come to Christ. He did. Don't you know Nathanael was excited? The Lord is going to my town. He's going back to my town. Oh, my dad lives there. My mom lives there. My sister. My son is there. Maybe you'll save him. You reckon? We just don't know how blessed this little town of Rocky Mount. The mountains to bring salvation. Righteousness are in the mountains. Where? Rocky Mount. Mount Zion. Nathanael, he's going back to my town. Oh, he, bless his holy name, he came in the first place. He's coming back. And to get there, he had to go down. He left Judea. That's his home. That's where he's from. Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethel, house of God. Jerusalem, city of God. 2,500 feet above sea level. You know where Capernaum was? 600 feet below sea level. Do you hear me? Everything's significant. For him to leave where he was, to come down to these Galileans, he had to condescend. Really? 600 feet below sea level. We're less than the least, lower than the low. Do you feel that way about yourself? Why would he come here? What is this place? Well, he did. Bless his holy name. Went into Galilee. He said in verse 44, he testified, prophets have no honor in his own country. He left Judea and went, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He had to go to Samaria because there was a certain woman there that he must certainly say that he'd chosen. That's why he went there. He left. He stayed a while, but he left. Right? He must needs go back to Cana. Why? There's somebody there that needs it. It's poor and needy. A man's son. He saveth the children of the needy. The gospel's still here, brother. It's still here. Still here. Still here, Stephen. He's still in the saving business. Barnard used to say that. God's still in the saving business. How's he doing? With his word. With his word, that's his power. Oh, I have hope. There's still great hope. God taketh pleasure in them that fear him and hope in his mercy. Well, he left Jerusalem. He was there. He had no honor there. He came down to Galilee. It says, in verse 44, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. That's where they went to the feast and they saw. Now, it doesn't tell us, go back to the last chapter of John. It doesn't tell us about any miracles that the Lord did there at Jerusalem in the Gospel of John. It only told us about him coming to Cana and doing that miracle of the water to wine. Okay? Then he went back to Jerusalem. And the first miracle he performed was at Cana. Okay, the water to wine. And then he went back to Jerusalem. Well, our Lord never walked. Every waking hour he was on this earth was a miracle of God's grace and mercy. He went about doing good. I'm getting to something here. Everything he did and said was mercy and miracle and healing. Every word he spoke was had healing in his word, in his power. And our Lord was doing many things that are not recorded here. He's doing it all. Look at the last verse. There are many other things which Jesus did to which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And the point I'm trying to make is, we just don't realize what all the Lord is doing all around us and doing for us and doing for everybody. He's feeding everybody. Anybody still living, the Lord saved them. He saved them from death. Anybody has anything, the Lord gave it to them. Right? Anybody can do anything, the Lord gave them that gift. It's all of grace. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Everything's been given to us. That's why he that glorieth, let him glory the Lord. That's why the Lord hates pride, because he's the doer of it all. He's the giver of it all. What do we give him? The praise of our lips. That's it. What can we return back to him? Let's pray. This is a good thing. Isn't it a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? We just don't know what all the Lord has saved us from, what all the Lord has done for us. We just don't realize it. If we did, we'd be thanking him every waking hour of our day. We would. If we saw the hills around us full of enemies, but the hills are also chariots of fire around the Lord's people. That blessed me thinking about that. Because he had done many things, but they're not recorded. Every day, everything he did and said was amazing. Mercy. But he came to Galilee, and they had seen some of these things, and they received him. Okay? And, you know, we're Galilean. The Galileans were the poor people. And this is fitting. In the poor have the gospel preached unto them. This is fitting. Christ came to save the poor and needy, deliver the poor and needy, not just physically poor, but spiritually poor, especially. But truly, the Lord came and preached to and dwelt among the poor, the lowly, the nobodies, and the nothing. You see, you're calling red. There were not many mighty, not many noble around him. In the end, a few, Nicodemus, a few came to this man. But he this man receiveth sinners. Publicans and harlots were around him. That's why he came. And as said, this town, Rocky Mount, is nothing. It's nothing. You tell people where you live, Rocky Mount, oh, North Carolina. No, not that big. Not that grand. I've been there too. Rocky Mount. Where is it? Oh, it's south of Roanoke. Oh, I know where Roanoke is. That's a great town, isn't it? Rocky Mount's a great town. Been greatly blessed, the Lord said. We're greatly blessed to be here. But the Galileans were nothing. They were nobody. And the Lord chose most of his disciples from Galilee. Those fishermen. In fact, when they went out preaching, everybody that was somebody, the high muckety muck said, these are Galileans. Where did they get learning like that? Galileans. They called our Lord a Nazarene. That's in Galilee, up in the mountains. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Christ did.
Anything good in Rocky Mount? Yes, sir. We got good news. We have the gospel. What else is there? Nothing. No, this is not the well-watered plains of Sodom, but it is the well-watered hills of Mount Zion. I'm blessed. He came there. The Galileans received him. But, you know, they received him because they saw the miracles. Back in chapter 2, it says that many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. He knew all men. And sadly, many have seen and heard things here in this town. And some seem to receive and believe, but no, it's going to be known in him. And our Lord said, he that hath my word and keepeth it, that's who believes me. That's who believes me. Not those that see miracles, not that those that go through miracles and so forth. But so he came back to Galilee. Look at verse 46. He came again. Where he made the water wine. He came. Oh, we need to pray that. Every time we leave here, we need to pray, Lord, come again. Please come again. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Come. Where he made the water wine. You remember that? You not see the blood running through all this water of his word? Oh, is he back with us this morning? I hope so. Anybody got a son that's dead? Daughter? A spouse? I know how he saves. Right here. With his word. Came back to Cana. You know what Cana means? Rod. Branch. The branch has come to this branch of the river. As said, Nathaniel's hometown. You know, as said, Nathaniel was so hopeful the Lord to save somebody in his family that was there. That was Rahab's desire, wasn't it? When the men came and she hid them, like we have the word in our hearts, with hope. Hope is in our hearts. And Rahab's one desire was that her family might be saved. She knew this place is going to be destroyed. And she wanted from Joshua and those men, she wanted a sure token from those men. This is my only hope for my family because he's going to destroy this place. My hope is you'll save my mother and my father and my brothers and my sister alive. He's going to leave this place and he's going to destroy it. Well, there was a certain nobleman. Now, here it is. Verse 46. It was a certain nobleman. Don't you love when Scripture talks about a certain woman? A certain man. Why does it say that? Keep saying that over and over. A certain man. A certain nobleman was there. Why did it just say a nobleman was there? No. This is a certain nobleman because this is the one whom the Lord chose. This is one of his elect. This is one of his sheep that he came to save, to find. And this is one whom the Lord was given by the Father in that covenant before the world began. And he said in his prayer, all those that thou hast given me, I've kept. None is lost. So this man's salvation, his son, is certain. It's certain that he's one of the Lord because the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord answered him as he begged him to help him. He did. He shall help the poor. Needy. He's going to come down like rain and he's going to help the poor and the needy and save the children of the needy. That's why he came. We just need to believe him a little stronger, don't we? Because that's why he came. We can quote those scriptures. Do we believe him? All right? This man was a certain nobleman. Now, you know the scripture in 1 Corinthians. Not many wise, not many noble are called.
It doesn't say not any.
That queen of England said, I thank God for the letter M. It does not say not any. It says not many. And, oh, the Lord is able to save to the uttermost. King on a throne or a beggar on a dung heap. He's able. With God, all things are possible. But this certain nobleman, now, it says he heard, verse 46. It was a certain nobleman whose son was sick, verse 47. He heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. He went unto it. He heard. And he went. Where? Where Christ was. He heard he was there. And so he came. Went to Christ where he was. And, you know, we're saved with Christ coming to this earth. But Christ came to different places. He went into little villages and towns. And that's where he was. And at any given time, if you wanted to hear from Christ, if you had a need, you're going to have to go where he is, right? Christ was at that well, and the woman went back and told everybody in that town, he's not in this town, he's at that well out there. And some of them said, is he? And they went running. They're thirsty too. They're looking for the Christ. Well, that's where you're going to find him. And those that didn't go where he was didn't hear from him. And God loves the people, we say all the time, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Yeah. You're going to have to go where Christ is and where the gospel preached. Because by the preaching of the gospel, it pleased him to save God's people. You're going to have to. And bless God if he, how blessed you are if he brings you to where he is and to hear the gospel. Now, bless. This man went, he heard, he was there, and he went unto him. And verse 47 says he besought him. He besought him. What's that mean? I beseech thee. Have you ever beseeched someone for anything? You know what that means? It's not just merely asking. Now, would you do me a favor? No, no. He's begging. He's pleading. Have you ever pled with the Lord? You know what it means to call on the name of the Lord? It means to beg. It means to plead. It means to beseech. Lord, I beseech thee. This man's son was dying. Was it serious? Did he just ask him one time to leave? No, he kept asking, didn't he? I beseech thee, please, from the bottom of my heart, with all my being, with every fiber of my being, dear Lord, please come down and save my son. You understand? That's what it means to call on the Lord. Somebody, I've heard people say, well, she's seeking the Lord. He's seeking the Lord. Just hadn't found him yet. No, they're not seeking the Lord. No, no. Seek and you shall find. Call and it'll answer you. Ask and it'll be given to you. Our Lord said to that woman at the well, if you knew, you would ask and he would give. But when she found out who he was, when he created a thirst in her, she said, give me, please. I'm not leaving this well till I go back with this water. I gotta have the Christ. He said, I am. Oh, ask, but beseech him. Beg him. Oh, he delights. He saves every blind beggar that calls on him. Yes, he does. He heard, he came, he besought him, he begged him, he pleaded with him, he earnestly asked him. Earnestly asked him. And keep asking. Read on with him. He asked him, he would come down and heal his son. He's at the point of death. And our Lord said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him again, sir, come down, for my son's dead. He kept asking. Our Lord gave the parable of that widow who kept coming to the Lord. You remember? In Luke 18, he said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Is there someone you have an earnest desire, the Lord, to save? Well, don't quit asking. Keep calling and believe him. And this woman kept coming and to this unjust judge, and our Lord said, do you hear what this says? And shall not God avenge his very elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with it? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. It's hopeless for my son. It's hopeless for my daughter. No, it's not. It's not. That's what they said about me. Not hopeless. As long as the gospel's preached. Well, this man said, Lord, come down. He kept saying this, didn't he? He besought the Lord. He besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Oh, if the Lord saves our children, you have to condescend. You have to stoop down. As much as we love our children, they're just sinners like anybody else. Everybody else. They're unworthy, wretched, vile, blind, naked, hopeless, unworthy sinners. Unworthy. Yes, they are. Our children. As much as we love our children, they're sinners. They don't deserve saving. And if the Lord saves them, he's going to have to sit down. He's going to show mercy. Like he did us. Just like he did us. We have to come down. But you know what? That's what he delights to do. That's what he delights. It's his greatest glory to come down, stoop, like he did that woman, that guilty woman. Come down, Lord. My son is sick. He's dying. He's dead. He's dying. He's as low as he can go. Well, the Lord, how low will the Lord go to save somebody? He said, my arm's not short. Reach way down. We sing that song, way down. How far did he reach for you? How far did he have to go? How far did he have to stoop to save you? Huh? Job 33. Go over there real quickly. This is one you want to memorize and remember. Job 33. Oh, my. You know, the Lord does this often. He brings people real low that he might reach down his mighty arm and exalt them to the skies. Job 33, this was Elihu's message to Job and his friends. Job 33, verse 22, he talks about a man's soul drawing near to the grave, his life to the destroyers. Oh, if there's a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show to man his uprightness. Oh, that he's gracious unto him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. Oh, if he does, his flesh will be fresher than a child born again. He'll return to the days of the youth. He'll pray unto God, and God will be favorable unto him. He'll see his face with joy. He'll render unto man his righteousness. He looks upon men, and if any say I've sinned and perverted that which was right, it profiteth me not. He will deliver his soul from going down into the pit, and his life shall see light. And he says in verse 29, he does it quite often. He delights to. What's it take? Help. That's all. This boy was low. This man's son was low at the point of death. He's dead and dying. He's good as dead. Anybody? He's good as dead. How'd he get this way? Did he do it to himself? Probably. Where is he? What has he done? Probably left home. Probably wanted to get out in the world. He went after the world. What happened? The world got him. Now he's in the world. He's of the world. He's going to perish with the world. The world's in his heart. If Jesus Christ doesn't come and bring it out of him.
Anybody?
Everybody. Unless the Lord, you've heard my story. We've heard this story. Maybe somebody hadn't heard. There's a young boy who had godly, good parents, believing parents, and he left home like so many do, like the prodigal. Went out, want to go out in the world, make his way. Should have ended in destruction. But went out, and like the prodigal, wasted his substance in riotous living. Ended up down Key West, Florida. Out all night. Laid down on a bench. Woke up the next morning. And behind him, he looked, and there was a sign on a fence that said, "This is the southernmost point of the United States." Meaning, that boy, it was as low as he could possibly go. And that boy is preaching this message to you this morning. I ain't bragging on that. I'm bragging on him who does such things for such low-life sinners. That boy didn't deserve nothing but to die at the hands of the Lord. He shook his face in the face of his fist in the face of God, in the face of his parents. That's why I can't preach without saying, "But God and you." That's you. That's all of you. But God. Praise his holy name. Bless his holy name. Ain't no one like him. Why? He delights to reach down. You've got to be down for him to save you. You've got to be a nothing and a nobody. This nobleman may have been something to somebody, but when he came to Christ, he's just a helpless man that needs Christ's mercy. He had all the money in the world and couldn't save his son. Don't you know he spent every dime he had on every doctor and every person in the world? Help my son. We can't. We can't by any means redeem anybody or save anybody from the certainty of death. Only one can. And that's who we cried to. Don't holler, preacher. Yes, all of us holler. What did this man want for his son? One thing. What was he praying and beseeching the Lord for his son? That he'd go to college and have all his stuff? No, he's dying. Are you with me? What do you want for your children? What do you wish for them? What do you hope for? What do you ask the Lord to do for them? Huh? Your grandchildren. They're dying. Really? We've seen some die, haven't we? Lord, I beseech thee. We've got dead sons in this building right now. We've got dead adults. Come down or we'll die. It's that serious. You know what the Lord did? He spoke the word. He said, "Your son lives." How? I say so. Go your way. Son lives. Is that what you really want? That's all I want. He lives. The Lord rebuked him first. And we all need rebuking because we just don't take him at his word. Do you hear me? The Lord rebuked all of them. Except you see miracles and signs, you won't believe. God's people, that's not the reason we believe. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word. Now this is faith. It's to believe God before he ever does anything for you. If he does nothing for you else. If he does nothing else for you. Whether he saves your children or your spouse or not. You say you don't have to. You speak the word and you'll have them. But, you know, so many people are religious because of miracles, because of things, experiences they've had. Because, you know, I used to be this, I used to be that. And I'm not, you know, I told you that story because I'm the prodigal son. And I'm glorying in what the Lord, how the Lord reaches way down. This man received the sinners. Why, Paul? Because I'm an example, he said. He said, I'm the example. I was injurious, a blasphemer, a persecutor. I was the worst man on earth, but God. I'm telling you, he saved sinners. And, you know, but whether he does anything for us or our children or not, he's God. He's worthy to be worshipped. And we need to just believe him, trust him. Though he slay me, he slay my son. He slay my daughter. I'll trust him. Judge Zerk does right. Yes, he does. But our Lord is so gracious, he's still saving people. And the man, when the Lord spoke to him, verse 50, and I close. When the Lord said to him, he spoke to him personally. And that's when we're going to hear from the Lord. That's when the Lord is going to open our blind eyes and our deaf ears. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word the Lord had spoken unto him. You read that? Unto him. The men at Sychar, they said, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we've heard him. Like old Ephraim. Now I've heard him. All my fruit's from him, isn't it? Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that all along. All the blessings are in him. Yeah, I've been trying to preach that to you for years. I see Christ is all in it. Yes, he is. But he's going to have to tell you. He's the one who will have to. We can't convince anybody of anything. They won't hear us, will they, brother? Talk to them all we want. They're not going to hear us. I tell you who they will hear. When it's time, they'll hear his voice. Then my sheep hear my voice. And they'll follow him. Well, he went home. He went home. And you know he did not go home right away? You know that? Because it says they told him yesterday. Yesterday at 7. The seventh hour is when your son began to heal. Was healed yesterday. He stayed there. Where did he stay? Where did he go? He didn't leave Christ's side. Like that woman at the well. He said he had to stay there. Yeah. I said, he stayed there. He couldn't bear to leave. But now he has to go home and see how the boy is. Do you see? You see that? He heard Christ speak to him. He believed him. And now he doesn't want to leave. But what about your son? I think he'll be all right. He's in the Lord's hands. I'm just going to trust the Lord to do what's right. Save him or damn him. I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, here's the one I have heard. This is the one I need right now. I can't bear to leave. But then he says, now I've just got to go home. We've got business to attend to. Got to see about the son. And he went home. In verse 52, he inquired of them the hour he began to amend. They said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew. He knew. It's the same hour when the Lord spoke. And himself believed in his whole house. He did like what he did was just like that woman at the well. When he went back and they said, your son about yesterday about 7 o'clock, whatever hour that is. Miraculously, your son, it's like somebody's just raised him from the dead. It's a miracle. He just he was lying. First thing he's dead, the next thing he's up, he's eating. He's drinking, he's alive, and he's asking about you. Where's Dad? And he's alive. It's just a miracle. It's like somebody just raised him. He did. And you know, that's what happens when the Lord, Would you look? Coming through that door, sitting here, hearing the gospel, and we didn't make him. We didn't have to beg him. We didn't have to plead with her to come. Nobody forced her or him to come. He just came, sitting, smiling, eating, drinking. Yeah, he's alive. Who did that? Wasn't us. Wasn't us. We praying for it. It's the word of the Lord. You know, the word does not return void. It accomplishes what the Lord sends it to do. It's a living word. It's a seed. And your children have heard the word. They've heard the word. This thing will say, if in God's good time, if He's pleased to send the Holy Spirit, okay? Happened to me. Happened to me. He's alive. The Father knew. And you know what He told them all? Let me tell you who did that. We just don't know how He was living. Father said, I do. And I'm going to tell you right now who I met. Like the woman at the well. I've met the Christ. He spoke to me. And He's spoken to my boy. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior who's come into the world. This is He. He did this. It says the whole house. Everybody in the house. Now it says in verse 54, this is the second miracle He did. He's come out of Judea into Galilee. Second miracle in Galilee. Not the second miracle He did. The second miracle that the people saw in Galilee. You with me? And this is, they go together. There's nothing that's not connected. Okay. It's the second miracle. The first one was water to wine. And the people saw it. Who saw it? The servants. The disciples saw it. This is the Lord. They saw water turned into wine. Do you remember that message? If you see the blood of Christ running through this book, if you see that Christ is all, if you see that your great need from God Almighty is the blood redemption of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you see a miracle. You've seen who He is. You know who He is. And you know who everybody that sees the water and the blood come out of His side, you raise them up. Like this boy. Are you with me? Every single one who's seen Christ crucified, the Father said, I will raise him up. He will not die. He lives. These two are one person and one thing. The great redemption that's in Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord bless His words in our hearts. Amen. Okay, Brother John. Number 32.